The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to the Lord's house on this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost. Jesus provides us with a few unexpected plot twists that are wonderful. Sunday school today. You aren't able to keep the Ten Commandments, so why bother even learning them? We'll talk about that today. Sign up for Christmas poinsettias in the narthex. The deadline is coming before the end of this month. We welcome Mel Beisiegel, a glorious husband, into the Christ our Savior family. Although he's not present in worship, he took instruction privately at the care center, and I continue to bring Christ to him. He received the Lord's Supper this past week with Gloria as for the first time as a member of our congregation. In our prayers today, we include our veterans, those who are affected by the fire that was backdoor to Robin, and we include Sue Bald, who's at home recovering, still in AFib, but she had a pacemaker installed this week, so we keep her in our prayers. We also pray for the family of Bill's friend, Dennis, who died. Veterans, please stand. Thank you for your service to our country, our Lord, and to us. Any other announcements or prayers? Woody.
I want to thank you all for coming. Be sure and pray for those that did not.
Absolutely. Rose. That would be kind of important. If they get a whole bunch of gifts with no names, it's kind of hard to figure out. Monica.
Good morning. If you're on the email list for the church, you may have received a forward email I sent a pastor. Next Sunday afternoon from 1 to 3 at St. Stephen's Catholic Church in Caseyville, there is a Respect Life event. It's just lunch for a free will donation, but some of the local, most involved pro-life people in the area, St. Louis and Southern Illinois, will be guest speakers. And the point of the event is to help you to learn how to be empowered, to be involved in the pro-life movement. So I think it's going to be a great event. There's going to be a lot of really, really, people who've really worked really hard for many years. We sponsor Mosaic here. And Mosaic is going to be there, and Mosaic is really a boots-on-the-ground group. They're able right now to park their RV right up against the fence of the new Planned Parenthood, which is kind of tricky for the way that all worked out. But sidewalk counselors can stop women going in and send them right over to the RV where they can have ultrasounds and pregnancy tests and everything. So they're going to be there as well speaking. But I think there'll be several really interesting speakers, and if you're interested in learning how you can get more involved, it'd be a great event next Sunday. So check your email. Thank you.
And if you don't get email, ask Monica.
Right.
And Monica has been asked to be one of the speakers for that event, which is kind of cool. Monica and Robin together are the life team. Not only for our congregation, but for our entire district. So we thank them for their service. Anything else? Greet one another in the peace of the Lord. Thank you. We ask our Lord's blessing on worship this day and know that he will bless us as he comes to give to us all the benefits of his twists of plot. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You may kneel or sit for confession. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
God of Abram, praise, who raised.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and all who travel, let us pray to the
Lord.
For all those in need, for the hungry and the homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the
Lord. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Living God, your almighty power is made known chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Grant us the fullness of your grace to lay hold of your promises and live forever in your presence through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is from Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He said, But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you, that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say this to the people of Israel, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. This is the word of the Lord. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. The epistle is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either in spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. This is the gospel of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 20th chapter. There came to Jesus some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second and third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The Apostles' Creed, page 207. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Word of God that calls for our attention on this Lord's Day is the gospel for the day from Luke 20. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our soon-to-return Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Any of you guys watch that TV show, The Good Wife, when it was on? I liked it. One of the things I liked about it was these twists of plot. Somebody who was on your favorite character's side in one episode would suddenly be plotting against that favorite character in the next episode. The Good Wife wasn't the first time there were twists of plot on television. One of my favorites was in a comedy. And you got to be a little older to remember this. But some of you will remember the Newhart show from the 1980s. So the very last episode of the Newhart show, the title character, Bob, played by Bob Newhart, wakes up, and we find out the entire series has been a dream of his character from a previous show called the Bob Newhart Show in the 1970s. I guarantee you it was a funny twist of plot at the time. It may not be so funny in my retelling of it. I think, if I recall correctly, that's called dramatic irony, those twists of plot. I wonder if my college lit teacher would be proud that I remembered that. He'd probably say, well, I guess, but you should have been using real literature instead of those television shows. You could have used Oedipus Rex by Sophocles as an example, just about anything by O. Henry. Should have been literature you used, Bruce. Okay, we'll use literature to show some twists of plot. The best literature of all, the Bible. Luke chapter 20. We get all sorts of twists of plot. The Sadducees have a question. The Sadducees, you might remember, are the theological liberals of their day. They reject most of the Old Testament except only five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, nothing else. They don't believe there's going to be a resurrection. They say, when you're dead, you're dead. That's the end of it. The Pharisees, on the other hand, are the fundamentalists of their day. They believe that every word of the Bible is true, like we do. But then they add some of their own rules for good measure. They believe that there is going to be a resurrection of our bodies on the last day. So do we. If you're catching things, Sadducees and Pharisees don't agree on much of anything. Oh, wait, except one thing. We got to get rid of Jesus. So the Sadducees have this brilliant plan. They can embarrass Jesus and the Pharisees at the same time. You've heard the story of seven brides for seven brothers. Would the Sadducees come up with the story of the one bride for seven brothers? You might remember that in the Old Testament, it says that if a brother marries and dies childless, his brother is to marry the widow to carry on the family line. So the Sadducees ask, let's say that a man marries and dies childless, and then his brother marries the widow and dies childless, and then the third brother and a fourth brother and a fifth brother and a sixth brother and a seventh brother, the same happens to all of them. They all die childless. Then the woman dies in the resurrection. Which one of them is going to be her husband? Now, you'll remember that the Sadducees don't believe there's going to be a resurrection. They're only telling this story to make fun of the resurrection, to make Jesus look stupid, and to make the Pharisees look stupid. After all, how's Jesus going to answer this question? He could say, well, at the resurrection, all seven brothers will be married to this woman. Which kind of makes a mockery of what God says about marriage, that the two, not the eight, will become one flesh. It is sinful to be married to more than one woman. For a woman to be married to more than one man, too, at the same time. So Jesus, and there won't be any sin in heaven, so she can't be married to all of them. So maybe Jesus could say she'll be married to only one of them at the resurrection, but that would invalidate six marriages that God's word said should happen and that his word validated. I guess he could say there won't be any resurrection. That would make the Sadducees happy, but that would be a lie, and Jesus always tells the truth. So the Sadducees have this brilliant plan, and they know how the whole story is going to end. It's going to end with Jesus looking like a fool. And then Jesus twists the plot. He opens up Exodus chapter 20, today's Old Testament reading, from one of only five books the Sadducees actually believe. And he says, you remember that God says here, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. Now follow Jesus' logic here, because the Sadducees are following it. God is only the God of the living, right, Sadducees? Yeah, that's right, they say. We might say he's also the God of the dead, but they didn't, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Now, they didn't believe in anything after death. Okay, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all lived several hundred years before, they'd all been dead for several hundred years before Moses heard from God. Yep, they say. We don't believe the whole Bible, but we do know our Bible history. Now, what did God say to Moses? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not I was the God, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So if God is only the God of the living, and he is right now, currently, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are dead, then there must be life after death. They thought they knew the end of the story. Jesus twisted the plot. He showed us there really is life after death. We think, those Sadducees, they must be so sad, you see. They're so short-sighted. They act as if life on this earth is all there is. But you and me, don't we sometimes do that? We start picking up the ways of the world. Remember the old beer commercial? You only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can. I'm really dating myself now. There's a new way of saying it, or a more recent way of saying it, YOLO, you only live once. Which is to say, look, folks, you're here, you're going to die, that's the end. You better live it up now. And we start to believe it and act like that's true. And so we work to make money, to get ahead, to enjoy life, to leave a legacy. All the while, perhaps neglecting what God has really put us here for, which is to love God and to care for our neighbor. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness all the time, trusting that he'll take care of all those earthly things that you think that you've got to do now if you believe the Sadducees, that you only live once, that you've got to grab for all the gusto now. Look, we failed our God. And what did today's epistle said? Our Lord Jesus is able to kill with the breath of his mouth. So logic says we know the end of this story. There may be a resurrection. Our bodies will be raised and then damned to where we deserve for our deeds. And then Jesus twists the plot. He takes our death. And he lets us have life. We who believe in him get raised indeed, but not to damnation, but to salvation. Because God has seen the affliction of his people and come down to rescue them. Just like he did his people in Egypt. Only this time it's all people on earth, us included. God has seen our affliction and come to rescue us. Jesus keeps twisting the plot on these Sadducees. And Luke says when he keeps doing that, no longer did they dare ask him any question. Well, that was that day. That was Tuesday. 2 days later, it was Thursday, the day when Jesus gave us his Holy Supper and allowed himself to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. On that day, Caiaphas, the high priest, a Sadducee, did dare to ask Jesus a question. Are you the Son of God? And Jesus says, yes.
And the Jewish council says, that's blasphemy. He's claiming to be God. He's not God. And they sentence him to death, which was an appropriate punishment if Jesus really wasn't God and was claiming to be God. But Jesus was not lying. He is God. But they've already sentenced him to death. They go to Pilate. They get his stamp of approval. And a few hours later, Jesus is hanging right where the Sadducees and the Pharisees alike want him hanging, on a cross, dying. And so as the story ends, the Pharisees get the last laugh. Jesus loses his life. But in the most merciful twist of plot that has ever happened in history, Jesus is exactly where Jesus wants to be when he is suffering. He is carrying out the mission that he came here to carry out. He is paying our debt. He is, as the epistle says, loving us, giving to us eternal comfort and a good hope, paying off our debt by his death. There's a twist of plot. Oh, but there's a better twist of plot waiting. Remember, the Sadducees think that when you die, that's it. So as soon as Joseph of Arimathea puts Jesus in the grave, those Sadducees say, ah, we've seen the last of that guy who's been a pain in our side. But 3 days later, they see again the pain in their side. He is risen. The last thing they expected, the last way they thought this story was going to end, is the dramatic irony twist of plot way that it does end. Jesus proves the resurrection of the body by raising his own body to life. And he says that you who have been connected to him baptismally, to his resurrection, you also will rise to life on the last day. So, dear Christians, don't spend your life chasing those fleeting fancies that the world would have you go after. We'll sing during communion, draw away your hearts from those pleasures, base and shallow. Don't give yourself sexually before that you are married. Don't go chasing after the riches of this world or the fame of this world. If God grants you wealth, if God gives to you prestige, use it for his glory. But don't set your hearts on it, because it's not going to last. You, dear Christians, do not belong to the world. You belong to the great I Am, the one who was and is to come, who gives to you life that is going to last forever. Jesus says you are sons of the resurrection, equal to the angels, equal in the sense that you're not going to die. Not permanently. Oh, it's possible that your body will cease to function for a while when they lay you in the grave, but that is not permanent, not when you have been baptized into the resurrection of Jesus. Not when you are fed, when you eat his body, drink his blood, with the promise that he will raise you up on the last day. Oh, when Jesus returns, you have the promise that he will raise you and all the dead and give to you and all believers in Christ eternal life, because you are sons of the resurrection. Jesus has twisted the plot in a way the Pharisees, the Sadducees, would never have expected. Oh, they make one more mistake, one that I think we make also. They assume that resurrection life would be a whole lot like earthly life. They assume it with regard to marriage. That's why they tell this story. And Jesus says, oh, don't put all of the earthly categories into heaven. There we won't be married or be married. Be like the angels in that sense. God's got something far better in mind for us. I believe in the resurrection, unlike the Sadducees, but I catch myself doing this, thinking less of heaven than it will really be. I'll ask questions like, I wonder how old I'll be in heaven. Will I look like I look now? Will I get to eat steak? What will be my job in heaven? Because the job of pastor will be obsolete. We won't need anybody to preach God's word. God will be right there speaking to us himself. You see, all my questions assume that life in heaven is going to be a whole lot like life on this earth. That life after the resurrection is like life before the resurrection. I'm making the same mistake that the Sadducees did, and I actually believe in the resurrection. If you were writing about what resurrection life is like, you're going to need words that aren't in any human language. If you're painting a picture of heaven, you need colors that eyes have never seen. If you're writing the symphony of heaven, you need notes that have never been played on this earth, instruments that have never been invented. In other words, we're thinking, I really hope that life in heaven is better than life on this earth. But Jesus twists the plot. He makes life in heaven even better than life on this earth. I suppose in the end, we should have expected Jesus to twist the plot and put the Sadducees in their place. But Jesus does even better. He twists the plot and puts himself in our place. He lets his body be placed dead in the grave so our bodies can come alive out of our graves. We assume that we better grab for all the gusto now, live for life now, because this is all there is. But Jesus provides something eternal yet to be so that we can live not for ourselves, but for others now. We hope that heaven is going to be as great as anyone could possibly imagine. But Jesus unexpectedly twists the plot, and he makes heaven even better than anyone could possibly imagine. Thank you, Jesus, for all those twists of plot. In the name of Jesus, amen. The grace, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, the great I Am, the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. O Lord, in the burning bush you revealed yourself to Moses, and you revealed yourself to us by your gospel. You tell us that Jesus has twisted the plot to give us life instead of death, resurrection instead of damnation. Give to Aaron, Gavin, Anna, Dale, Megan, and all your baptized people faith and confidence so that we hear and learn your word with joy, so that we repent of our sins, so that we trust your promise of salvation in Christ, and so that we show with our lives that we are children of the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. Lord, the time of the end is approaching. We need even more faithful lay leaders, pastors, and church workers. So raise up courageous laypersons and ministers to guide your people through these difficult days. Remind us of our resurrection life so that we love you and not the attractions of this world, and so that we serve our neighbor and not just ourselves. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, thank you for your rich and abundant blessings to each of us and to our country. Be with those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Remove those from office who are working for their own good or who are promoting immorality or injustice that does harm to our society. Deliver us from the threats of violence. Teach us the way of peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our
prayer. O Lord, we are grateful for those whose military service preserves the freedom that we enjoy. Bless the members of our armed forces and our veterans. Keep them safe. Relieve those who are suffering as a result of their work for our country. Provide for the needs of our veterans. Give them a sense of accomplished duty for their service to our nation and to you, Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
O Lord, as we consider our calling to live in but not of this world, make us wise in the stewardship of this earth and all the resources you provide to us in creation. Give us grateful and generous hearts so that we honor you by responsibly using everything you've entrusted to us for the good of all people. End abortion.
uphold true marriage. Give to us courage to do and to speak up for all that is good and right. We give you thanks for the marriage of Ned and Rita. Keep them in your gracious care. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, the physical and mental ills with which your people struggle are not beyond your power or grace. So bless the sick with healing, the suffering with relief, the grieving with comfort, and the dying with peace. Come to the aid of those who are affected by the fire in Lebanon, those who have been harmed by violence, the family of Dennis. And be with Sue, Clem, Nina, Roger, Oris, Beth, Norma, Matt, Tara, Charles, Barb, Kathy, Sherry, Charlie, Herb, Parker, Reagan, Holly, Joshua, Hope, Ed, and the Martinez family. Grant to them faith, patience, and perseverance. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you are not a God of the dead, but of the living. As we look forward to the resurrection of our bodies, we praise you for those whose souls already rest with you, especially our sister Carol. Thank you for their witness. Keep us faithful until death, and draw back to your church those who have strayed. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, give us faith to discern Christ's body, and repentance to receive communion worthily. Bless our fellowship at the table of the Lord. Sustain us in unity of doctrine and life together. Bring an end to all divisions in your church so that all of your people can receive this holy meal together. Lord, in your mercy. All these things we pray, O Lord, at the invitation of your Son. Hear and answer us for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Service of the Sacrament, page 208. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
What given to you his body, his blood, and the benefits of all his merciful twists of plot. Go in his peace.
His side. Then take comfort and rejoice, for his members Christ will cherish. Footsteps follow as you now still wait to rise. Fix your hearts beyond the
all the same. Take heed to this, the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for the forgiveness of all who sin. Take heed to this, the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I see you face to face. Hear what I touch and handle things unseen. Hear grasp with fervor and eternal grace. And all my weariness upon me. Here would I feed upon. Great marriage feast of bliss and love. Place of peace and rest. We know not, oh, we know not.
The Lord Jesus Christ has given to you his body, his blood, all the benefits, his saving twists and wonders. Peace.
as saints join with the angels and all the martyr throng, the princes ever with them, the daylight is serene, the city of the
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of that feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.